We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Maybe now is the time we can kind of break out and dive into this thing. Because he says, hey, guys, what positions do you think we actually improved or got worse in? I think this plays the biggest factor in how the team will play next season. So maybe we just break it out now, Nick, and dive into this thing. And
yeah, let's do it.
Is the roster better now than it was in 2022? Because I know I've seen that on Twitter a lot this week. Like, wow, the Giants roster is actually worse than it is in 2022. And so let's unpack it and see where we stand on that, Nick. So let's go position by position. Let's start there. Let me set the stage. I want you to break it down. And then I want you to also qualify how much it actually matters, as in how much the difference matters. Because we could say it's better in now versus then, or it's better then versus now. But if it's only by a little bit, it's not going to make as much of a difference. So I want to make sure we factor in the size gap of what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the quarterback position is a little bit worse now, just because Tyrod Taylor has more of a proven track record than Drew Lock. I still think there is an unknown about Drew Lock. I aspire to see the ceiling type of like thing inside of my soul where I'm like, well, maybe Drew Lock. And I think there's probably some fool's gold there, if I'm going to be completely honest. But I don't think we've seen the best of Drew Lock. And Tyrod Taylor was a much stable player that would rise the floor of the quarterback room from 2023. So I'm going to say it's slightly worse this year.
I think that's fair. I would say it's slightly worse as well, though I am also intrigued by how Drew Lock would process Brian Daboll's system. But I think I was a big fan of Tyrod Taylor. I know he made some boneheaded mistakes at the end of a couple games last year that really stood out in fans' mind. But I really think if they thought about it a little bit more and decided, wait a second, but if he didn't have those explosive throws in that game, would they even be in position to have won or lost that game? And the answer is no, they wouldn't be in that position. So that also factors in. One play at the end always has more weight on our minds as fans, but every play does matter in the game. So if you don't have those explosive throws earlier, you're not going to get those chances at the end of a game. And remember, even in that Buffalo game, he converted a 4th-and-7 to Jalen Hyatt, where that pocket was done. It was collapsing on him. He navigated that pocket so brilliantly to find himself a new launch point to get that ball out to Hyatt. So just things to consider on that front. So I think they downgraded a bit there. I also think going into 2023 versus going into 2022, Jones is not as high of a quarterback. Like going into 2023, it was impossible not to be high on him. He was coming off that Minnesota Vikings game. It looked like he was ascending as a quarterback. He had a great preseason and training camp, if you want to count that, but it was worth discussing. Thought maybe he could, in the sense that, okay, maybe it's clicking for him in training camp and preseason. Maybe the offense is. He's seeing it better. He's processing it differently. And then he got injured, and he got another neck injury, and then he tore his ACL. So going into 2024, it's hard to imagine a guy coming off an ACL and a neck injury. And I know some people want to throw out everything they saw on film in 2023, but this guy against the Niners and Seahawks had legitimate problems. One against the Niners after the game, the 4 or 5 Niners defensive players, they don't do this. This doesn't happen in the NFL. You don't see this happen. Came out and called out the opposing quarterback. You don't see that happen often at all. Go look it up. They don't do that a lot in the NFL. And all 4 or 5 of them said the same thing. We knew from the very first snap, he wasn't going to throw downfield. We knew he looked scared in the pocket, and we knew that everything was going to go underneath. Then the very next week, the Seattle Seahawks rookie defender said, I did my film study. I knew he was a one-read quarterback. That's how I picked the pick six that cost them the game. That's how I jumped that route for pick six. So like, these things should be factored in. It can't just be, we throw it all out with the bathwater. It is what it is. The O-line was so bad. So I think we're worse there. And, you know, the Drew Lock, the Tyrod thing. So I think slightly worse, I would say, just because I don't think Tyrod makes enough of a difference because he's still a backup quarterback. It's not like you're going from starter to starter and you're getting worse in that sense. So I'd say slightly worse there. Running back, go to you on that one.
running back from a talent standpoint, they're definitely worse. Saquon Barkley is far superior than Devin Singletary and Tyrone Tracy Jr. But where this conversation gets interesting is you got to factor in the contracts. So who would you rather have? Saquon Barkley with the contract?
Let's take the contract out of it. Let's just see like roster-wise. Okay.
But I think that, I mean, I think you have to weigh that in if you want a real clear picture. Okay. But if we're just talking about talent on the football field, then yeah, they are worse than they were last year.
They're worse than they are last year. But I will say this. I'm kind of intrigued to see Devin Singletary in this system. And I'm kind of intrigued to see if there are areas of Singletary's game that can improve upon what Barkley put on the field. I'm just going to be honest. To me, Barkley, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, was not the same runner post-injury against the Bears. He was not the same yards after contact runner. And that is not just evidenced by me saying it as some kind of opinion based on the tape, which it is. The yards per carry, yards after contact per attempt, is way down from his pre-injury form. We're talking almost a full half yard or more down. That's context. That's stats. That's facts. And as far as the explosiveness, you cannot compare it and say that these are the same. He's the same runner he was in 2018. He had 9 runs of 40 plus yards behind a bad offensive line in 2018. He had 1 run of 40 plus yards in the last 2 seasons. 9-1 in 2018. 1 in the last 2. That explosive rate is way down. So it's just not the same runner. I'm excited to see if maybe there are some plays that Singletary could process a little differently and maybe get a yards on. They're still obviously worse at running back, though. So I think they're definitely considerably worse at running back. Let's go to receiver.
They're much better with Malik Nabers.
Yes. Yeah. That one, I don't know if it needs analysis. They're much better with Nabers. That's pretty obvious. They got a player who Nick and I believe is one of the rare prospects from a draft standpoint, one of the best receivers we've ever scouted, I would say, for me. And, I, you know, that means not like, you know, we're not saying he's the best, but he's in that range for me of the elite guys I've ever studied doing this thing. So much better receiver. Tight end, I would say they're much better. I mean, that's obvious.
This is where it gets interesting. Oh, people are like, Waller. Oh, Darren Waller. I'm saying they're better now in 2024 than they were in 2023. And I get it. Darren Waller, he's amazing when he's healthy. Not healthy often. And there was no depth behind Daniel Bellinger and Darren Waller. It was Lawrence freaking Cater, who is still on the roster now. And you add Chris Manhurts, and you add Jack Stoll, and you add Theo Johnson. So you have at least 4 tight ends if Darren Waller doesn't decide to play football, who can at least block. And 2 of them have some receiving upside. Now, is it as dynamic as Darren Waller? No, but I would rather have that tight end group than last year's tight end group. And 10 times out of 10.
Yes. And the need, and I'll make this case, the need for a Waller type is not as much in this offense now that Nabers is here. Now that Nabers has arrived, I'd rather have the 2-way tight ends like Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger on the field, to be completely honest with the situation. Last year, they needed a Waller. They didn't have that. He was a big part of their pass game. They didn't really have much in the pass game they could rely on in the intermediate and vertical area of the game. Now that's Nabers. He is your guy. And you're going to have a lot more 11 personnel because Nabers is on this team. And with that, I'd rather have that one tight end and 11 personnel, to be quite frank, be Theo or Bellinger, who can block or who can run, who can make it so the defense can't just guess pass when the guy is on the field. Not to say Waller isn't a good blocker for what he was. He was actually kind of a good blocker for his frame and size. But that frame and size is very limiting as a blocker, as we've seen with players like Evan Engram in the past. So I actually kind of feel like the room is better there. Offensive line.
They're much better right now than they were last year.
Without a doubt. Not even that one. I mean, look, it's not a guarantee. I don't want to sit here and say things have been fixed on the offensive line. I know you don't either, Nick. We want to watch it with our own eyes and see it in the real regular season games for maybe a 4, 5, 6 game sample size before we can get confident about it. Which I don't know. Can you imagine? When's the last time the Giants have had like a 4, 5, or 6 game straight sample size of good, of above average offensive line play?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? you need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
It's been a while. I'm trying to rack my brain there. See, like, even in 2022, like a lot of people,
we had it for six.
I don't think we did. Mark Lewinsky was a pretty big liability on the offensive line. Like the beginning of the season, though, I'll say this about the 2022 Giants: the beginning of the season was terrible, right? Like Daniel Jones was running for his life. It was really bad. The Chicago Bears game, they were like, "Dude, I don't even really want to throw the football. Let's just run play action bootlegs and give the freaking football to Saquon Barkley." It stabilized a little bit more mid-season, and then it got a little bit worse during the Washington games and around that time. And then it stabilized again throughout the playoffs. But I don't think there was like a 5-game stretch where we're like, yes, this offensive line is excellent, because they had some liabilities and some issues specifically on the right side with Evan Neal and Mark Lewinsky.
Yeah, you're right. And I think back to that Bears game, it made me laugh, because I'm just like, I usually think quarterbacks are like the biggest factors in any game or, you know, in any kind of scheming. But I think in that game, the Giants literally looked at it like Dexter Lawrence is so much better than Mustafa. So much better than Mustafa right now that we don't even need to call an offense. We're just going to run the ball, run bootleg, run Jones on bootleg, do a couple slide throws, run the ball, more Jones bootleg, and just let Dexter Lawrence single-handedly destroy Mustafa and win this game. The Bears should have done something there. Like, I don't know what it would have been, dude, but like there should have been doubles on Lawrence 100% of the plays, like a back that like lined up like in like a weird H-back type formation that just like chipped every time Lawrence destroyed Mustafa.
They couldn't do that though because the Bears had no explosiveness on offense other than their quarterback's legs. So the Giants just aligned in an odd front, 5-man fronts the entire time, isolating one-on-one blocks. It was just feast mode for Dexter Lawrence. And you know, he loved it.
Poor Mustafa. But yeah, so O-line, I still think we can reasonably say it's better with the veterans they've added, Illuminor, Runyon. I mean, last year, Glowinski was done. They had to play guys like Azudu with no snaps. They had to play as like Bredesen with not that many snaps. McKethan was playing the beginning. Remember, we're all McKethan playing at the beginning of the year. So I think it's considerably better. I also think there's finally an actual fallback plan if Evan Neal doesn't work. Like, I know a lot of people like the kid Tyree Phillips. But like, I feel like Tyree Phillips, I will stand by this. I didn't like Tyree Phillips' film in 2023. I liked it in 2022 to an extent. I thought it was very overrated tape in 2023. I feel like he was pushed back into quarterback's lap all the time, and I felt like he was a net negative in the run game. So I think there's an upgrade there just putting Illuminor in. So I'm going to say upgrade there. Let's flip the other side, defensive line. I think that goes without saying, a massive upgrade there.
Massive upgrade with Brian Burns. Are we including the edge rushers with the defensive linemen or no?
Yes. The whole front.
Okay. If we just look at all of it, then yes, Brian Burns himself is a massive upgrade. But if we want to isolate the defensive line and then the edge room would definitely get the nod as being much, much better.
And the D line gets a negative because
negative. They lost Leo and they lost A'shaun Robinson. Yeah. And I would say that's a pretty solid negative. Like, you have Dexter Lawrence. But
I think it goes both ways. It's a solid major upgrade to a major downgrade with the Burns versus that.
I agree.
Would say it outweighs on the Burns side, because I think what he can provide will be more than what Leo could provide or A'shaun personally.
I do agree with that if you want to combine them both. But if we're not combining them both, then that's where it gets a little interesting. And I still wonder who's going to be that starter in more passing situations, what the Giants are going to do.
Good question. Yeah.
With a pass rusher who they typically align in like 3-techs, 4-shade. Like, are they going to kick Kayvon inside and get Azeez out there? Which I would support in obvious passing situations.
I think I would support that too. I still think that's where Joe Shane's always very active from like this time until September as far as free agent pickups. And I know now's a big moment because I think Dan Duggan tweeted about this. Now these picks, the pickups that they make on free agency won't count against their compensatory pick formula.
Yeah.
So they can add more. And I think that's where the rest of this cap is going, to the defensive linemen. And they're going to add a couple guys, veterans, maybe also like a, you know, Autry or like a Jahad Ward type to play. I think we'll start to see some depth filled out there. This is the one thing about passing on D-line in the draft. Long-term, I don't love it, but short-term, you can find guys at this position in this stage of free agency. You can't say that about all the positions. You can say that about this position. So that linebacker, what about for you, off-ball linebacker? I think pretty similar, right?
I mean, it's the same. I would say it's a little bit better just because they added Muisao, but that's like, again, it's very negligible.
Corner is an interesting one because I think on paper people will say, and they've made this case I've seen online, they're worse because they don't have Adoree and they have a couple rookie. They have one rookie in there. I think Adoree's been injured a lot during his Giants career. Adoree was not all that reliable from an injury front. So, I mean, like on paper, sure, but Adoree missed a lot of games. I'm not so sure the next guy's going to miss a lot of games. I'd still say it's a downgrade. Adoree's a veteran player. But I don't think it's as great as people make it out to be.
Well, if Deontay Banks takes the jump that we hope he takes, then that would lead me at least to consider 2024. I think I'm going to go with 2023. I think Adoree Jackson, look, he didn't have the best season last year. He's still sub 30 years old, and I think he's an above average starting cornerback in the NFL, and the Giants lost that.
Yeah, agreed.
And they added Andrew Phillips, who... Andrew Phillips, like, they bring Darnay Holmes back. That's cool. They signed Jalen Mills. Andrew Phillips, like, that's not a player that I'm like, oh yeah, pencil him in. Like, that's a guy who still needs to like prove a lot. And I'm a little bit like skeptical. Like, is this guy actually going to hit? Like, I know he has a ceiling, but I could see a path, and I don't want to like give this to or assign this to the kid right now. But if in 2 or 3 years you're saying he's another like Cordell Flott type, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, you know what I mean? I think the ceiling is there, but there's still a lot of ironing out, as we said.
I'll say that about basically any corner that's drafted in that range of the draft. I'll stand by that. Any corner in that range of the draft has a wide range of outcomes. They can be hits or they can be misses. And I think, honestly, it's the nature of the cornerback position. It's such a hard position to play. Outside of tight end, I don't know if there's a harder position to play. You're back. Like, you're on the defense every time. I know, yo, he's a defender. Of course he's on the defense. Duh. But, like, the way that it's set up, it's so much. Like, think about it. A pass rusher, he's on defense technically, but he's moving forward. The offensive lineman's moving backwards. The corner is moving backwards laterally. It is not easy to play that position. And especially when, as you always talk about, Nick, the rules are really set up for the receivers. Like, the receiver can put your hands on the corner. The corner can't put the hands on the receiver somehow, for some way. It's called that way. I don't want to say for some way. We know the reason the NFL wants offense and the quarterback plays so bad league-wide. They need to do whatever they can to get offense and passing. But it is what it is. That's reality. Safety, I would say they're worse with Newman versus McKinney.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what that marks, bro?
What'd you say?
5-5.
Yeah, 5. I was just going to say, let's recap it. They're 5-5 even. Yeah. So then I guess it just comes to depend on, one, the jumps that some of these players can take, and two, how much more important it is to be good in the trenches, where I think they have improved, especially if they can get a veteran on the defensive line in free agency, versus the other places where they are better last year. Corner, safety, running back. And what other one did we say? I guess slightly quarterback.
Yeah. So it would be quarterback, running back, defensive line, cornerback, and safety. They're worse.
Defensive line's a key one. They're going to have to find something in free agency. I don't think it's even negotiable.
Wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, linebacker, which again, it's a small edge. And then edge itself are better.
Sure. And two of the, you know, trench is the big thing. I mean, obviously it's going to come down to the offensive line. I think Malik Nabers makes a big difference. Just taking everything out of it, position by position, Nabers on this roster versus Nabers not on this roster, what he brings to a roster makes a massive, massive difference.
And also losing Barkley and X, those are like huge losses from a culture standpoint, from a, like, who is the face of your franchise type of perspective. And the only addition to that, not including the rookies who can all develop into that, and we should give them that. Obviously, Nabers and Newbin are two players who can develop into that in year one, is Brian Burns. Brian Burns is that one player that it's like, that's a face of the franchise type of player. That's a, oh, wow, it's 3rd and 6 Monday Night Football. Can the Giants get a stop? Brian Burns wins up the edge, gets the sack, Giants win the football game type of dude.
Yep, agreed. And that, I think, though, I think Nabers and Burns as the two bigger. So add Nabers and Burns, take out Barkley and McKinney, really, right? To me, because some, you know, big time players like those four make big time impacts on your wins and losses.
I'm so glad you brought this up, dude. If you look at it that way, and there's so many different ways to look at it, but if you look at it that way, the Giants are coming out ahead.
They have to be coming out ahead.
Nabers on a rookie contract.
And also, I just think what's left of Barkley at this age, after all those injuries, is not what's left of Neighbors. They look completely different to me. I just watch a lot of Neighbors. Like, we've just went through all this Neighbors film, and I'm rewatching it now that we drafted him. I'm like, this is a different level of explosion. No offense than what Barkley had. This level of Barkley. Yeah,
not even controversial.
It's not controversial. It should be obvious. And then as far as Burns versus McKinney, McKinney's a safety playing off the ball, not even involved in every snap, doesn't play the post as much as we needed him to. Burns is going to be on every single snap on the line of scrimmage. There's a massive difference in what an edge can give you, in my mind, than a safety.
One thing, just because this conversation I feel like is pertinent to analyzing the New York Giants, and Giants Twitter is just, oh my God, is bifurcated like crazy, man. People are just at each other's throats.
Oh, it's bad right now.
I wonder, though, how the Giants are going to play the run with Brian Burns out there.
Yes, it's going to be interesting.
It is. Now, Shane Bowen used a lot of, you know, slanting, gap exchange, stunts, all that kind of stuff. That's what Brian Burns thrived. I use that kind of loosely as a run defender with Carolina, because he's not a, I'm going to stand you up at the point of attack, hold my ground against an offensive tackle type of player. So I am interested to see exactly how that works. Now the Giants second level, I think, is going to maybe have a little bit more responsibility on their belt. Bobby Okereke and whoever the second linebacker is might have a little bit more on their plate to help out and to mask maybe some deficiencies that the Giants have at edge, especially if Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't take the step that we hope he takes in run defense.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I will say this, maybe I'm putting a little too much faith on Bowen and just his system that he's ran throughout his time with the Titans and how good they were in run defense throughout that time. Maybe that's putting a little too much credit in the system, and maybe I should be focusing more on the players that were there. And maybe, you know, at the same time, I'm looking at Dexter Lawrence and thinking he can get a lot of this job done. I might even kind of foresee some jumps happening from the two Giants guys, Jordan Riley and DJ Davidson. I feel like if we look back at last year and just think of some of our film observations, both of them had flashes on film. Now, obviously, they have to put it all together. They have to stay healthy. They have to, like, become more complete players. But they had flashes on film. You can't say that about every single player on this roster as far as film flashes go. Like, you could say more that based on the tape last year, we should have a better expectation for what they can do from a jump standpoint than like a Cordell Flott. But I think a lot of people look at it the other way, like Cordell Flott has a better chance of being a contributor within this defense than DJ Davidson and Jordan Riley, maybe based on the draft capital and things of that nature. So I think there's a potential for them as well. But I think for me, Nick, to answer this question and bring it all back, if you're looking for the reason why I'm convinced the roster has improved and the 2023 roster is better than 2022, it does come down to those two major alpha players. Malik Neighbors and Brian Burns are going to have more game-changing, game-winning type plays on a consistent basis than Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney offered the team in 2023. I really feel strongly and confident about that.
I think that's a great point. I understand why other people are frustrated, and Dan and I are on the same page. We want the quarterback position to be upgraded.
Yeah. Everyone does. Who the hell doesn't?
Everyone does at this point.
It's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do.
And it's not like, and you could say, oh, well, if it's not easy to do, you're never going to take a chance, but there will be chances taken. Like if they give them a leash, Shane and Dable, which I'm sure they do and sure they will. And you know, a good point in all this, and I've been thinking about this, Nick, I didn't put it on Twitter until today when somebody like put it up in my mentions. I thought about it. It's like people are so mad at Joe Shane. Do you know want to hear what he actually did? The selfish route would have been for him to look at this draft guys and be like, I'm taking JJ McCarthy, or I'm taking Penix, or I'm taking Nix. I don't really have a conviction on these guys, but guess what? I'm taking them. You want to know why? If I take them, my clock gets extended. Now I have a rookie quarterback. Now it's the first year. He sits behind the veteran. Year two, he's still developing. Don't worry about it. Year three, it's only his second year in the system. We need more time. It buys him all these years. That's the more selfish route a GM could have taken. The selfless route is what he did. He didn't worry about his own, you know, tenure with this team to an extent. He took the player that he believed he had a conviction on, Malik Neighbors. And if you watch the tape, it's obvious to see why he had a conviction on him. But if you watch the tape of the other guys, you might not have the same conviction on those quarterbacks. And selfishly, he could have just taken any quarterback. It could have been any single one. It doesn't matter who. And now, again, you're looking at it like, okay, well, it's year one. I now have year two with the quarterback. He still needs time. And so I just think that's another point in all this. Like I understand the frustration with not getting the quarterback this year. And people are like, he's gone 20 straight draft picks without drafting a quarterback. But it's like, okay, well, then why do we I want to make this one point.
Go ahead. We understand the frustration. If anybody listens to this podcast, Dan and I were pounding the table for Drake May the entire time. We were hoping New England hated Drake May. We were hoping that Drake May hated clam chowder. We were hoping all that shit was true so he could come to New York. And it didn't happen.
Right.
It just didn't happen. Of course we want a freaking quarterback. But it's not that easy. And I don't want a quarterback just to get a quarterback for quarterback's sake.
I don't like that either, Nick, because look, people are like, oh, he hasn't drafted a quarterback in 20 straight draft picks. Okay, guess what? Look at NFL history, and the bust rate for quarterbacks taken on this, even in round two, is insanely high. Round three, round four, round five, these are almost always wasted draft picks where you could be getting prospects like Theo Johnson and Tracy. Will they hit definitely Johnson and Tracy? No, but they might hit. There's a much better chance of them hitting than any quarterback you take. So now just don't even really just focus on round one. If you wanted the quarterback, like, 20 straight draft picks. I don't want to hear that. The only picks that you could be mad about them not taking quarterback are 6 this year, 5 and 7 the year before, even though, two years before that with Thibodeau and Neal. But wasn't that the Kenny Pickett class, by the way? I'm pretty sure that was, right?
Yeah.
So obviously I would hope no one would be mad about not reaching for Kenny Pickett or whoever else was in that draft class. And then last year, they're picking at 25. Obviously, they can't trade up for C.J. Stroud, so you can't be mad at them for that. So it's not 20 straight picks where Joe Shane didn't take a quarterback. It's only really this pick, the 6th overall pick, that I think it's fair to be angry at if you want to be angry at. I'm not personally, because I didn't have a conviction on anyone but May and Caleb Williams in this class. Jaden, I would have maybe been okay with based on the upside, but I would have been very nervous about the red flags within his profile. And I'll be honest with you, I am very, very happy the Commanders took him over Drake May. I'll see what happens there. It's going to be a different developmental situation, New England versus Washington. I don't care. I'm very, very happy that they took Daniels over May, and we'll see what happens there. But look, I'm okay with the frustration over the one round, Nick, but everything past that, it gets a little much for me.